Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express. I am Sister Mara and I'm delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Well, Sister Zakiana joining me today, inshallah, we'll be back next week. Well, I hope you're all enjoying this lovely weather. And yes, Lanesia is about this weekend, inshallah, with the Ijtima coming up, and may Allah grant it a success and reward all those who partook in it for all their efforts as well, and those who are traveling to Indonesia and going back again, may Allah grant you a safe journey always. Ameen. Well, lots to look forward to in today's program. First up, an interview with Sister Fadila Abdurrauf, who is from Cape Town, and we're talking about Cape Malay cuisine. And then in the cooking segment, I'm going to chat to you about on winter desserts, and the recipe you can look forward to today is a Cape Malay flaky roti recipe from our guest, Sister Fadila Abdurrauf. And our interactive question in on today's program is, what family recipe has been handed down to you from your grandparents? Yes, what family recipe has been handed down to you from your grandparents? And what type of Cape Malay food, sweet treats, meals do you often prepare? We'd love to hear from you. 072-786-1548. Well, get ready to tantalize your taste buds as we embark on a flavorful journey through the vibrant world of Cape Malay cooking. Originating from the Cape Town region of South Africa, this culinary tradition is a delightful fusion of Malay, African, and Dutch influences. Stay tuned as we explore the rich history, aromatic spices, and mouth-watering dishes that can make Cape Malay cuisine a true culinary gem. From fragrant curries to sweet treats infused with exotic flavors, there's something for every palate. So grab your apron and join us as we uncover the secrets behind these delectable dishes right here on the Household Express. And to tell us more about that, I'd like to welcome Sister Fadila Abdurrauf to the airways of Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fadila. How are you?
I am alhamdulillah. And to all your crew and all your listeners, and shukran for having me.
Certainly a pleasure, Sister Fadila. Now, can you share some background on the history and cultural influences behind Cape Malay cooking?
Of course, Cape Town Malay cuisine has been a history beginning in the 1600s when Dutch arrived in the Cape bringing slaves from Malaysia, Indonesia and East Africa. Many women at the time were slaves to Dutch households and had to cook for their families. The slaves had brought recipes and spices from their own home countries.
Okay, lovely, yes. And what type of spices did they bring in at that time, Sister Fadila?
They brought all the, like cardamom, cumin, paprika. They brought the coriander, star anise, and these many other spices.
Mm-hmm. Now, coming back to you itself personally, Sister Fadila, how did your passion for the kitchen start, and where did it start from?
It started with my mom. She was an excellent cook. By helping her from a very young age, I began became very interested in cooking and baking, and I became a foodie.
Okay, lovely, yes. And what was the first meal you prepared with your mom?
The first meal, I actually started with the roti, and that's why I'm going to share the roti recipe with the listeners.
Okay, so, yeah. Certainly. That will come up later on in the program. Now, what are some of the must-try dishes when it comes to Cape Malay food? Tell us about the different types of Cape Malay cuisine, the food you prepare, how you prepare it, you know, what's the best way to prepare it, what spices goes in there.
Yeah, there are so many Cape Malay cuisine, but I will start with the matulu chicken biryani, the matulu chicken akni, pupua cheese, like pickled fish, and then the sweet system of tart cook sisters, and bread pudding and sago pudding, tapioca pudding served with dried stewed fruit. So, yeah.
Okay, lovely. Now, how different, you mentioned biryani, how different is the Cape Malay biryani to the normal biryani that you make here in Joburg or the Durban-style biryani? What's different about that type of biryani in Cape Town?
We use the brown lentils. We use quite a bit, and then we layer it. We prepare everything cooked, like the rice and the potatoes. We fried it, and we fried the onions, and then we braise the meat separately. Everything is done separately, and then we layer everything together, and with the saffron on top, and yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned you braise the meat, okay? So basically you're cooking your meat basically halfway.
Halfway. We first, I marinate the meat and I overnight it with all the ingredients, you know, all the masalas, all the spices, mm-hmm. and with the, I use maybe buttermilk or I use a yogurt.
Okay.
And then mm-hmm. I will overnight it.
All right, okay. And what spices go into your biryani? Is it any different spices compared to our Joburg-style biryani?
It's basically the same spices, mm-hmm. like, you know, we use the salt, the turmeric, the cumin, mm-hmm. the coriander, star anise, and use curry leaves, and, okay. yeah, so it's basically, and the fresh herbs we use.
Okay, okay. So, mm-hmm. I find that different because you said fresh herbs. And here in our Joburg style, our Durban style of biryani, we don't use fresh herbs. We only use like our fresh coriander, etc. And then we don't use star anise. We don't put curry leaves. So definitely a different type of biryani for the Cape Townians. And how is your akne made, Sister Fadila? Is it any different from ours? Tell us about the akne.
The acne, we also do with the a bit different, slightly different. We start with the onions, the butter. We melt the butter. I cook with butter, and then the onions, garlic, ginger, the chilies, and all the spices go in mm-hmm. with the meat. And then we also cook the meat, and then we put the raw rice on top of it.
Okay.
And we throw everything together in one pot. We cook it for 2 hours. When we make a big, big pot, you know, it's mm-hmm. 2 liters or 100 liters. So, yeah, we put everything together and then slow cook it for about 1 or 2 hours, depending what the liter of the pots are.
Okay, and what type of rice do you use? Do you use brown rice, basmati rice, bimbri rice?
No, we love, sorry Amara, we do like the basmati rice. I like the basmati, personally basmati rice. Yes, that's the rice we use.
Okay, now what are some essential ingredients or spices used in Cape Malay cuisine, and where can home cooks find them? Is the spices different to our normal spices? Tell us about the spices used in your everyday cooking, Sister Fadila?
The spices is basically the same. We normally get the spices at the nearest spice shop. So we use the turmeric, the cumin, which is jeera, coriander, and then different types of masalas. And then the whole spices like the cardamom pods, the stick old cinnamon, the star anise, and stuff like that. So we basically use the same. It's just like, you know, when you get some other, like the black salt and the Kashmiri chili.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
So mm-hmm. I think that is the difference.
That's the difference, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And how do you balance the flavors in Cape Malay dishes, especially considering the mix of sweet, savory, and spicy elements?
The sweet is mostly the powdered spices like fine cardamom, fine cinnamon, fine ginger, fine acid. And I said that is the sweet, and then the savory is like paprika, chili powder, garlic powder, onion powder, and the spices, the normal salt, turmeric, cumin, coriander, and masala for extra flavor. Mm-hmm. So those are basically the difference between sweet, savory, and spicy.
Okay. Now, when we come about, when we talk about Cape Malay sweet dishes, biscuits, and things like that, you know, and I know my mummy actually makes a lovely biscuit called Soetkoek. It's a bit of a mission to make it, but there's definitely a secret ingredient in there, and they call it the red ball spice, okay?
Yes.
So, and lots of spices. Now, tell us more about this biscuit Soetkoek, you know. We certainly love it here, you know, and now with the Ramadan Eid, they just passed us. And my mommy actually showed us how to make it, you know. It's a bit of a mission. Lots of spices in there as well. But tell us more about this biscuit, this lovely tasty biscuit called Soetkoek. Another name, they call it Essies.
They call it Essies, yes. That is a biscuit that came on very, very many, many years ago. And it's not so difficult to make. It's just the spices.
Yes.
You put in the spices for biscuits, you know, for the sweet. Mm-hmm. So you use the sweet, like a example, the cardamom and
yes.
cinnamon and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rooibos, that makes the difference. So you make two batches.
Yes.
You know, you separate it. One,
mm-hmm.
one with the... it's a light brown spicy color, and then the red ball is the other one, and then you put it together and you get this lovely biscuit.
Oh, it's such a tasty biscuit
that
indeed,
very,
yes.
Very tasty,
mm-hmm. Yes, red ball, we don't seem to get it here in Joburg. It comes only from Cape Town as well. And I haven't seen it here in Joburg. And you even put some nachi spice in there.
The nachi spice, I use the nachi spice for my cook sisters.
Yes.
I
love
like
coming to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's giving a lovely, lovely taste. It's so different. And I think it just gives that extra flavor. It gives a very unique flavor, the nachi that I feel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, now with winter coming in, you got a lot of citrus fruit. Nachi is one of the citrus fruits as well. So how do you dry out your nachi peels, Sister Fadila?
It's a very, very long process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put your oven on, so to say, almost not on, if I may explain it like that.
Like on a low heat.
Mm-hmm. Very, very low, and you have to cook it or bake it almost a whole day.
Mm.
And it's on very slow. If you don't do it that way, there's no other way. There's no shortcut in drying an nachi peel.
All right.
So it's very, very, and when you for hours you have to bake it, and when it's done, then it will be hard and very crispy. It will be extremely dry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just crush it. You can either crush it with a liquidizer, or you know, you can take something heavy and just crush it all together.
Right, okay. And that's a key ingredient in making kusisters, yes. What is the next secret ingredient in making kusisters? I know a lot of ladies put in some mashed potato in there or grated potato in there. It makes your kusisters very, very soft.
Yes, I do put the mashed potato. It's a potato, but you can also use, for the softness, you can put the buttermilk.
Buttermilk?
Yes, you can put buttermilk. If you don't use the mashed potato, you can cook it. It will come just as soft. Yeah.
It's the first I've heard of buttermilk in a kusister. It's worth trying, yes?
Yes, you can. It's buttermilk, one cup of buttermilk. And yes, my cook sister is a well-known. Everybody likes my cook sister, so yeah.
Okay, lovely.
It's either buttermilk, or you can put in the mashed potato, yes.
Then I want to talk to you about another lovely biscuit called Het Sochies, and it's got jam and coconut on. Tell us more about that.
Oh, that is also my favorite. Yeah, it's just basically the flour, butter, or I don't like to use like the ordinary sugar, so I use icing sugar.
Right.
I use icing sugar or I use caster sugar. And then it's just butter, flour, sugar, and some essence. And then you shape it into the, it's a mold, you know, like you know the itsuki.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
You know the shape of the itsuki.
It's a round shape, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just bake it, blind bake it. You first blind bake it, and then you put on, you cook the coconut mm-hmm. with some sugar and a piece of stick cinnamon and then a cardamom pod, and then you, then until syrupy, the coconut, and then you just put on the coconut and jam.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. So, so, so tasty, yes.
And very, very tasty.
Yes. Sister Fadila, stay on the line. We're going to go for a short break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about two other biscuits and a bit of a pudding. And then we're going to go on to the roti recipe. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. One of our interactive questions for today is, what family recipe has been handed down to you from your grandparents? And what type of Cape Malay foods or sweet treats or meals do you often prepare? 072-786-1548. And we have Sister Fadila Abdurrauf on the line from Cape Town. And we're talking about Cape Malay cuisine. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fadila. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. I want to talk to you about another biscuit. It's called Karamonk Scraps. Tell us about that.
That's also very tasty. That is very tasty. It's a cardamom. It's fine cardamom.
Uh-huh.
You just add the fine cardamom with your recipe, your basic recipe.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, it's like, you know, the, Sister Mara, it's like the coconut scrap.
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
Same.
All the ingredients is the same. You just add the, you don't add the coconut, you add the cardamom, the fine cardamom with that. It's very, very tasty.
Lovely, yes. Now, if you take a roti, the roti we make, normal roti, we make it with boiling water, okay? But now for a Cape Malay flaky roti, you make it with cold or lukewarm water. So why do you make it with cold or lukewarm water? What's the difference between that two rotis?
My roti, Amara, is very, very flaky.
Mm-hmm.
I make it's not just a solid roti, and the cold water, it doesn't matter if it's totally cold or lukewarm, it makes it very flaky.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, that because my roti is, everybody love my roti, even all the children love my roti.
Lovely,
so it's the water, it's the lukewarm water that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay. I want to, before we go on to the roti recipe, how do you make a briedi? What's the typical spices that go into a briedi now? You get a tomato briedi, you get a mutton briedi. What's the key ingredients? I know they actually use like breadcrumbs or tomato puree or just tomatoes into a tomato briedi. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Sister Amara, the tomato briedi is one of my favorites. So it's just you braise your onions, the garlic, and you put the garlic, crushed garlic, and then you puree your tomato, the tomato paste, and then you braise the onions with the meat. I like to put in some nice mutton bony meat, and then you add the tomato paste and tomato, fresh tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and you put the potatoes. And I like to make my potatoes a little bit soft, so that, you know, it becomes thick. And I add a little bit of sugar to the acidity of the tomatoes to take that a bit away. And yes, that is the way. It's a very simple dish, is the tomato brady. Very, it's a stew.
Okay. Can you make a brady with chicken, only mutton?
I didn't hear what.
Can you make a brady with chicken or only mutton? Which is preferable?
No. You can make with whatever a brady. Mm-hmm. You can make with chicken or with any type of meat. Some people don't like the mutton. They don't do mutton. So then you can replace it with any beef or chicken.
Okay, lovely. Now, the Cape Malay dals are very different. So what type of dals do you use when you're making your dal?
Yeah, the dal we use the pink lentil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we don't add the five or four different dals. We only cook the plain, the one flavor, the pink one.
So it's only the pink lentils that you're using?
It's only the pink lentils.
So how do you make your dal then, Sister Fadila, if you're using the pink lentils only? Tell us about that.
We braise the onion with the meat,
mm-hmm.
and then with my garlic, and then maybe one tomato or tomato paste,
mm-hmm.
and then with a little bit of stick cinnamon and sugar, and then you the coriander, the fresh coriander last. Mm-hmm. I like to put coriander in. But what I've lately did is I boil my red lentils, I boil it separate.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes very, very tasty. But you can also add it as the meat are soft. You then add your lentils, your raw washed lentils, you add it. But I've separated the meat from the boiling of the pink lentil, yeah.
Lovely. And does it come thick?
Add it.
It comes out nice and thick as well.
It comes nice and thick. If it's too thick and you don't like the thickness of the lentils, then you can just add a bit of water.
Okay. I've got a message here, Sister Fadila, from one of our listeners is listening in. Tell us, how do you make pickled fish?
Oh, it's very easy. I realize a lot of people can't make pickled fish. Pickled fish, you fry the fish in the batter, or you can just bake. You can fry the fish separately, and then you take a cup of vinegar, you take a bit of sugar, and then lastly you cut the onions very finely,
mm-hmm.
and you put turmeric in the vinegar. What I do, I go to the spice shop,
yes.
and I get the ready-made a mix of a pickled fish. You get it at any spice shop nearest to you.
Uh-huh.
You can ask for the pickled fish like this. All the seeds, you know, the mustard seeds.
Okay,
and
yes. Bay leaves and things like that.
Everything is in there. And then you just add it with your vinegar while it's boiling. You can... some people put water in. I don't put water in my vinegar. And then you just boil it, have a good boil. You add the onions.
Mm-hmm.
And then not very, the onions need to be nice and crunchy. And then you fry your fish separate, and then you just add it, and you add it with your vinegar.
Is there any special type of fish that you have to use for pickled fish, Sister Fadila?
It's not actually, you know, you can use king club. A lot of people in Cape Town, they like snook, fresh snook. They like use snook. And I also like the stockfish.
Okay.
So, but you can use any type of fish that don't have bones in.
Okay. Okay. That's a nice part of staying in Cape Town. You get all the lovely fresh fish, yes.
Oh, yes, Sister Nora, that is one thing about Cape Town. They have the best fish.
Best fish, it's so true.
It's so fresh, and it makes a very big difference when, you know, it just come out of the sea and you cook it so lovely.
Lovely, yes. And Sister Fadlina, we're coming into winter now, you know. So what are the different type of winter desserts that the Cape Townians enjoy?
It's like I said, the bread pudding, sago pudding, tapioca pudding, those are the puddings that we eat during winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice, these puddings. And like malt tart is also like a winter
yes.
pudding. We like making it,
Lovely, okay. Now we're going to go on to your roti recipe. It's actually a Cape Malay flaky roti recipe. So please go ahead and share with us the Cape Malay flaky roti recipe.
Okay, shukran, Sister Amara. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Cape Malay flaky roti. It's 5 cups and we're using the 250 Malay cup, a proper measuring cup, and we take 5 cups of cake wheat flour, 250 gram butter or margarine, and 2 cups of cold water or lukewarm water, and salt to taste. I normally take 1 tablespoon for the 5 cups of wheat flour.
Mm-hmm.
And in a bowl I add the flour, salt and water. I knead it into a soft dough, leave aside for 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, make 10 equal balls. Roll out thin the size of a side plate. Then I spread cold butter on equally all over rolled dough. Roll up from bottom upwards into long sausage shape. When all is done, set aside for 10 minutes. Take one at a time. Stretch it out long without breaking the sausage shape. Roll the left end inwards to the middle, then the right end outwards until it forms a S shape.
Mm-hmm.
And put on top of the other. Refrigerate for 15 minutes. Roll out and fry on medium high in saucepan until golden brown on both sides. And enjoy, Amara.
Oh, lovely, Sister Fadila. Such a lovely roti recipe. I think I'm going to try that out today, yes. And why do you put butter or margarine in this roti, Sister Fadila?
What did you say?
Why do you put butter or margarine in this roti?
It gives up when you fry it, because when you put on your saucepan,
mm-hmm.
when you're going to fry it, you put nothing in the pan. It's an empty pan that you're gonna eat, or a tower. You can take a tower,
okay.
And then you just the first roti you're going to fry, you just smear a bit of oil, any cooking oil,
okay.
You smear it on so that it don't stick. But afterwards, when you fry the other rotis, you're not going to do that. You're just gonna because now the pan's nice and warm,
mm-hmm.
So you put fry the roti on an empty pan with nothing in, and then you just fry it on both sides. But every time you can flip it and turn it over, flip it, and then it puffs up nice and flaky. And then when it's done, you remove it from the flame and you take it out of the saucepan and you slap it. You with both your hands, when it's still warm, you slap the roti and you will see the different layers on that roti, and that makes it a Cape Malay roti.
Wow.
It becomes extremely flaky. The effect that it has by slapping it, it gives the flakiness of the roti.
Lovely. And I think because you're using patty and margarine and cold water, so it gives that flakiness, you know. Now, we're making the other way around. We make a normal roti with hot water, and we put a little bit of ghee and oil in our dough as well. But a roti also comes out nice and soft, but this is a nice, lovely, flaky roti, and I think it's best made and served at the same time.
Yes, it's very flaky and it's served hot.
Lovely.
You have to fry. You can't, you know, we in the supermarkets, we get now the ready-made of everything.
Mm.
You get the ready-made fried samosa. I don't believe in eating like that, Sister
yes, me too.
Amara.
Yes, me too. Best is fresh. Enjoy it as well. Yes.
Best is fresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sister Fadla, before you wrap up this lovely interview, what's on your menu for this week?
The menu on the, for this week is a routine curry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have that, yes. I'm preparing that.
Lovely, lovely. Sister Fadla, please share with us your Instagram account, your Facebook account details. If you're on TikTok, please share that. Listeners are requesting for your account details.
Yes, at the moment I'm on TikTok, and it's Fadla Abderrauf, spelled Fadelah, and my surname is spelled Abderrauf. And when you punch in the my name, it will pop up the Instagram, and because I didn't post a lot, so many things happened in between when I was doing my videos. You know, I edited myself, I take it to the ring light myself, I do everything myself alone. So with the help of my children, my grandchildren, my friends. But, you know, I do mostly my own stuff. So, yeah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
They can get me on my, because I went on the social media platforms. The first one I went on was TikTok. And there was about 3 or 4 videos and recipes that went viral. So I stick on there, and then I went on Facebook. But my grandson said that I am also on the, Instagram,
yes.
So it's the same. It's my name. It's my name and my surname.
Okay. Sister Fadla, Jazakallah Khair for joining us on this interview. We've shared with us lots and lots of information on Cape Malay cuisine. Really enjoy the interview. May Allah grant you lots and lots of barakah and accept all your du'as. And happy cooking and happy baking.
Shukran so much. The same to you, Sister Mala.
Shukran to you.
Shukran for inviting me.
Certainly a pleasure, Sister Fadla. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Well, dear listeners, it was Sister Pabli, Sister Fadla Abderrauf. You can follow her on her Instagram page, Facebook page, or even TikTok. That's Fadla, Fadelah, Abderrauf, Abderrauf. So you can follow her on that. TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And it's always nice to talk about the Cape Malay cuisine. All right, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're talking about winter desserts, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Let's talk about winter desserts. I think winter is coming in slowly, slowly now. You can feel the nights are getting a bit nippy. So we're going to change over our desserts from normal summer desserts. We look for something a bit nicer, spicy as well. So winter desserts have a unique charm and appeal, offering comfort and satisfaction during the chilly winter months. Now, what makes winter desserts truly captivating is their versatility, from traditional classics to innovative creations. Easy to make desserts can be enjoyed by anyone, regardless of the culinary expertise. So spices also play a magical role in enhancing the flavors of winter desserts, like cinnamon, nutmeg, cardamom, your ilachi, your ginger, are just a few examples of spices that add warmth and depth to a range of sweet creations. Besides, those spices add numerous benefiting health benefits, from boosting metabolism. So if we look at the types of winter desserts we normally make, it's like bread pudding, sister-fried lemonade in the sago pudding, tapioca pudding, milk tart, yes. Talking about milk tart, you actually have different types of milk tart. You can have a big one, small tart ones as well, and then brownies. What about the apple crumble, the mousse, the egg and milk pudding, the sticky toffee chocolate pudding, malva puddings, and also the pecan pies. So definitely a whole range of puddings you can actually make, all different types of desserts for winter as well. And what about the hot chocolate or the Milo served with the marshmallows on top? And so indeed, you always want something warm for winter, and you can eat different types of spices like cinnamon, nutmeg, cardamom, elachi goes in there, ginger. You can actually make ginger cake as well, lovely for winter as well. And like we're talking about ginger, like now on the onset of winter, they make a lot of ginger bark for winter as well. But lots of things go in there. Actually, I wonder if we're going to talk about the home remedies on the ginger bark and the adu bark and those meti bark and things like that. It just adds warmth to your body. It's like healing for you as well. Also lots of colds and flus going around as well. And so it also, these spices also add, it benefits the health as well, opens up your whole, just it's like basically like an immune booster as well. And then lots of listeners wanted me to share the repeat the Cape Malay flaky roti recipe by Sister Fadila Abdul Rauf. Okay, here it goes before we wrap up today's program. It's 5 cups of cake flour. So it's 5 cups of cake flour, 250 grams of butter or margarine, and then 2 cups cold or lukewarm water. So 2 cups cold or lukewarm water, and of course salt to taste. Then you take your inner bowl, you add your flour, salt and water. You knead your dough into a soft dough. Then leave aside for 20 minutes. Then after 20 minutes, you make 10 equal balls. Roll out each one into a side plate. Then you spread butter on equally all over rolled out dough. Roll upwards from bottom into a long sausage shape. When all is done, set aside for 10 minutes. Take one at a time, stretch it out long without breaking the sausage shape. Roll the left end inwards to the middle, then the right end towards until it forms an S shape. Put on top of each other, refrigerate for 10 minutes, and roll out and fry until golden brown on both sides, and enjoy. So this roti is basically a Cape Malay flaky roti. It's Sister Fadila puts lots of butter, margarine. It's made with cold or lukewarm water, and you have to make it and serve it hot at the same time. That's the whole idea of making this roti. So indeed, a lovely roti to try out. You don't have to roll it very thin, very thick, and you'll find that you must try and step your roti so you can see all this flakiness coming out, and it's served with lovely sugar beans or just dal on its own, or chicken curry or mutton curry, whatever you're making. Even a stew or a bredi, this roti is basically ideal to make. And the recipe is on our Radio Islam website. Go to radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to the website, call Sister Rukaya on 011-854-7022, and she will gladly assist you as well. Well, this year we leave it for today's program, and inshallah, back with you next week on a lovely topic, a lovely guest. Inshallah, Sakya will be back with us next week. From me, Amara, Jazakallah to my producer Mumtaz for always getting all the lovely guests as well, to you listeners for all your lovely messages and duas, and to us for the Ijtima that's going to be happening in Lens this weekend, and may Allah grant it a success, and may Allah keep everyone safe, inshallah, ameen. Accept all your duas and all your ibadah. From me, Amara, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.